Let's get into the Word of God this morning. Let's go ahead and turn to Galatians chapter 4. Let me read to you the first seven verses. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." Now, we want to look at this morning the fact that we are children of God. We are adopted children. And because we are adopted, God has put this this cry in our heart, "Abba, Father." You know, before I get into that, it just occurred to me this service that maybe I should say something about these opening verses. It talks about a child, and these are children in the Roman kingdom, the Jewish kingdom, and, you know, though they are heirs of wealthy benefactors, when they're children, they're treated as children, meaning that they are under the tutelage, I guess you might say, of a tutor. And, you know, they get to be an appropriate age, whatever that age might be. It's a little bit different in the Roman Empire than it is in the Jewish Empire. And then they are, you know, of age, and they have moved from adulthood into, I'm sorry, they've moved from being a son into adulthood. A son meaning a child who is under care. I say all of that to make a very simple application. I think it fits here. But, you know, we have children here in our children's church. Many of them are related to you. Many of them are your children. But we have kids that are from this area that aren't, they come from a variety of backgrounds. And some of them don't have a parent that is here. Some of them don't have a parent that knows the Lord. And, you know, my heart really goes out to these kids. My wife and I have worked with children, particularly my wife. We, you know, our whole, the whole means that God used to bring us into the ministry was through something called Release Time Education. And so we've always had an involvement with kids in this greater Long Beach area. But, you know, I want to call on you as the body of Christ. Now, some of you, you know, your kids are grown up. They're not only grown up, you have grandkids. Maybe some of you even have great-grandchildren. But, you know, your influence is important. There are actually, I look out over this congregation, I see a couple that was very influential in me when I was much younger. And, you know, we need to be influencers of these kids. And, you know, they're in the second story of the Sunday school, which is, you know, right adjacent to our church. And sometimes we don't see them. You come, you hear the study, maybe you hang out on the patio, you have a cup of coffee, and then you're gone. But I would make two requests this morning. Number one, that you would pray for these kids, because they really need your prayer. So often this is the only exposure that they have to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we want that exposure to count. And you know how kids are. You know, at least my experience is that sometimes they don't even look, they don't even seem like they're listening. You're teaching them and they're going bonkers. And you're thinking, oh man, you know, what a waste. But it's not a waste. It's not a waste. And sometimes they see things that we don't realize that they see. And so it is very important that when we have the opportunity, and sometimes you have to take the opportunity, particularly those of you that don't have any kids, take the opportunity to greet them. Maybe the Lord would give you something to say to them. And as you see that child or those children, would you please pray for them? Because your prayers are very important and they are needed, because the kids that don't have Christian parents, man, I'll tell you, they're here for maybe an hour on Sunday. Hopefully we'll get them on Wednesday night as well. But 2 hours in the rest of the week is devoted to things that are in many cases very ungodly. So your input is very needed by these kids. Yes, we have teachers. We have people that work with the kids, but your input too is important. And you can read that in the context of these opening verses. These kids, some of them know the Lord, some of them have accepted the Lord, but they've got some growing to do. A lot of them have a lot of growing to do. They'll rush through a verse. Do you know your memory verse? They'll say the verse, and you're thinking, did they just say that verse to get a prize, or do they, is it really? And so, they need godly input, and we have a church that can come alongside of these kids and encourage them, and I would encourage you to do that. Minister to them. There'll be a time where they will come of age, and maybe we won't see them at this church anymore. But hopefully you have made an impact in their life by sharing Jesus with them. And you can share Jesus in a number of different ways. Certainly, we want you to verbalize your commitment to them. But just a genuine smile goes a long way in letting these kids know that we care and that we want to bring them up in the Lord. Well, having said that, I want to review some very basic things with you. The Bible says that if I have placed my faith in Christ, I am a son of God. Paul tells us in the preceding chapter, in chapter 3, that you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. You know, this was kind of an interesting thing. We've been raised to know that, to believe that. If you've been in church, you've heard that before, that you're a son of God through faith in Jesus Christ. But, this church in Galatia, they were having problems. They were beset by a bunch of people that came in and tried to divert them from the gospel that Paul had shared with them. And this book of Galatians is a letter that Paul sends to them to kind of set them straight, because they've gone down a wrong road. There's a dead-end road. And Paul is trying to get them back on track. And so he tells them a number of times that they are sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. See, these teachers that had come and shared with them had shared, you're a son of God through the keeping of the law. In other words, these quote-unquote Jewish Christians had just taken that which they believed before Jesus ever came, that you had to be a keeper of the law, and they just incorporated some of the things that Jesus said, but they still strongly believed that Hey, if you want to be a son of God, you got to keep the law. And so Paul is setting the record straight. No, it's not keeping the law. It's putting your faith in Jesus Christ. It's not based on how knowledgeable we are in Christ. It's not based on how often we go to church. And it's not based on your obedience to the law. Your relationship with Jesus Christ, your relationship is based on your faith in him. Now, you might recall at the time of Jesus, there were actually those who placed great emphasis on the law of God. That is, they placed great emphasis on certain external observances of the law. And they did that not so much for God's sake, they did that to impress people. And they got into this dialogue with Jesus in John chapter 8. And they told Jesus, well, we're sons of Abraham. And here's what Jesus had to say to them. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. So we need to not only remember, but we need to live out the fact that we are children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world did not know us because it didn't know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, here's the teaching of the New Testament, particularly in the book of Romans, but it's all through the New Testament. Through our relationship with Jesus, a relationship that is established by faith, the Bible says that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Now, jumping down to verse 6. Verse 6 says, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Now, that word Abba, what does it mean? Well, really, most scholars are agreed on the fact that the best way to translate that word is to use the word daddy. Abba means daddy. It's an enduring term, endearing term of great affection. We think of young children calling out to their fathers, daddy, daddy, you know, it might be something they're excited about. They see something, daddy, daddy, look at that. Or, daddy, daddy, help me. But young children, they call their fathers daddy. Now, that term changes as we grow older. You know, as I grew older, I left off the D-Y at the end. I called him dad. And I think if I'd called my dad father, he would have immediately thought, something's going on here. I don't know why he's calling me father, but he must have done something wrong. So this is the term that God has given us to cry out in our hearts, Abba, Father. And, you know, some people say, well, it's wrong to call God daddy. And I think some people say that because they see the works of majesty that God has accomplished in creation. We look at the wonders of creation. We look at planets and systems that have existed for thousands of years. I mean, there's stuff out there that has been there for thousands of years, and we didn't even know it. Man did not know it until we invented the telescope, not the microscope, the telescope. And we see these things, and we marvel, and we realize that God has just furbished this universe with marvel after marvel after marvel. But even though the universe is so majestically created, for those of us that know him, we can still call him Abba. We can call him Daddy. You know, I believe there's a balance. We don't open our services by saying, "Hey, Dad, how you doing?" We open it with the word God or Heavenly Father. But there is a place, and there is an appropriate place for us in our devotional lives to refer to God as Abba. I have permission to do so, and in fact, the Holy Spirit often generates that kind of response in my heart. Now, when you ask Christ to forgive you of your sin, he does that. Your sin is instantly forgiven. Your sin is forgiven on the basis, of course, of his death, that he died for you. But there are those who take advantage of God's willingness to forgive, even to the extent that they'll say something like, "Well, I really want to do this thing that I know is not God's will. In fact, I know that this is evil, but I want to do it. So I'll do it, and then I'll ask God's forgiveness, and everything will be all right." Well, I think when people think in that kind of category that, you know, I'll just get forgiveness. God is a forgiving God. They really don't understand who they really are in Jesus Christ. Who are you in Jesus Christ? I'll tell you who you are. You are a genuine child of God. Why are you a child of God? Well, you're a child of God because you have been adopted. That's what it says. It says that in verse 5, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. You have been adopted as a son into the kingdom of God. Now, I believe that that adoption is very significant. And I'll tell you why. One reason why this whole thing of adoption was sort of brought home to me. Many years ago, well, I don't know how many years ago, it was maybe about 20 years ago, we had a family that we were a relatively new fellowship, and we had a family. It was actually a husband and a wife who began attending services here, and we, you know, got to know them right away, and we asked them, you know, a little bit about their background, and they told us that they had gone to a harvest crusade, to Greg Laurie's harvest crusade, and they were invited by a friend from work. Neither one of them knew the Lord, and at the end of Greg's presentation, he gave an invitation, as he always does, and they got up and they went forward, and they were both wonderfully saved. And they were telling me that as they turned around to leave the area where all of the people come who want to give their hearts to the Lord, at that time, I don't think they do this anymore, but you could look up at the big screen that was out in the field, and on the screen, they were flashing the names of churches. And as they looked up, they saw our church. They saw Calvary Chapel, North Long Beach. And they didn't live too terribly far away, so that's where they decided to, that's how they decided to come to our church. And as they grew and as they, fellowshipped with us, God put it on their hearts to adopt a child. In fact, it turns out that they ended up adopting a boy and a girl. And we were very excited for them. And they invited me to go to the adoption proceedings with them. Now, this is when they adopted their son. And so I went to the court. It's over in East Los Angeles. And I'll never forget. First of all, I've been to court before. Probably you have too. And court isn't necessarily a happy place. But this one was. I mean, there was just a wonderful spirit of joy permeating that building. And on that day, this couple adopted this young boy. He was under 4 years old. He's grown up now. He's a Marine, but he came from a very, very difficult situation, and he was up for adoption, and these people did a wonderful job of bringing him up, and as they did with the daughter. But here's what was interesting to me. As the proceedings took place, now, this particular instance, they were adopting this young boy, and as I told you, about a year later, they adopted a young girl. But there were couples there in this divorce court who were actually adopting children, but they had children. They had their own children. They had natural children, and they were now adopting children that would become members of their family. And you know, that judge, he asked first the parents. The questions were a little bit more technical, and I'll relay them, but essentially what he said is, do you understand that everything that is yours becomes your children's? In other words, what you will leave to your natural children, you will also be leaving to your adopted children. They're going to be just like your natural children. And he not only told the parents that, but he actually had the children come up, and he asked them the same question. Do you understand and do you agree to the fact that you will now jointly co-own everything that your parents own with these kids that are now coming into your family? And, you know, it was kind of an interesting, I think we assume those things when people are adopted, but it was just interesting to see that happen and to see the fact that these parents, as well as the natural children, had to agree. And so when it says that we are adopted into the family of God, it's much more than just being, a special class of people who, because Jesus died, receive forgiveness of their sin. It's much more than that. We are adopted into the family of God, and as we have mentioned earlier in this study, we are now joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We get those things that he gets, and it's really an amazing thing. Now, did God have to do that? No, he didn't have to do that, but he did it because of his great love for us. He loved us that much that not only did he forgive us of our sin, he also made it possible for us to come into this inheritance with his son. It's just incredible as the Lord has given us these quote-unquote legal rights to sharing everything. I am an heir of God. I am an heir of God with all the inherent blessing and privileges. I'm heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And then finally we read this. It says, therefore you are no longer a slave but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, those things that we receive as sons of God, yes, some of them we will receive when we join the Lord, but there are other things that I believe we get right now. And the sad thing is that there are so many Christians that have no idea of the wonderful things that they have inherited from the Lord, and they don't even know it. They go on with their lives as if they are paupers rather than enjoying the riches that are ours in Jesus Christ. So what can I say? We're heirs of God. if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior, your sins have been forgiven. That's a blessing. And, you know, we rejoice in that. But we also rejoice in the fact that, wow, we have been awarded these wonderful aspects of the heritage of Jesus Christ. And, you know, I think that as we appreciate that, we appreciate so much more all that we are in Jesus Christ. You know, it's so sad that there are many people, many Christians, who have no idea of what they have in Jesus Christ. They have no idea of the fact that they are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And I think sometimes because we don't know, we don't have the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. I remember many years ago, a wealthy relative passed away, and my parents were beneficiaries of his estate. He had made a will, but there were many things in his that he did not list in his will. And so they, my parents got there, but they got there late. There were many relatives that beat them to the punch. And it was interesting because they were all wanting these different things that had formerly been the property of this relative that had passed away. They wanted it, and so consequently, my parents just kind of said, you know, we'll pull back. We don't want to get in this fight. We don't want to argue. And I think my mom said, "I'm a joint heir with Christ anyway." They took it real well, but you know, there are so many horrible situations when people die and people want to get their get whatever they can of their estate. But I'll tell you, with Christ, there's plenty to go around. There's everything that we need. There's what we need right now, and there's what we need in the future. God is good. And would you remember that, you know, you're not only forgiven. That's huge. I say forgiven. I say that in the sense that, yes, we will inadvertently and sometimes maybe advertently make mistakes, and we'll go to the Lord and we'll ask forgiveness, and God will forgive you. And you can have the assurance that you are forgiven because Jesus died in your place. But it's not just about forgiveness. It's not just about forgiveness. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. Father, we thank you for all that you have given us in Christ. But Lord, we thank you that on top of answered prayer, on top of the peace that we have when things are not going well, it's a supernatural peace, on top of all of these things that you bless us with, that we are also joint heirs. And Lord, we thank you that that heritage begins even now, and it continues to grow. And so, Lord, would you help us to have that perspective and to know that one day we will receive. I think, Lord, we're going to be so grateful. We're just going to, you know, we're going to cast it down at your feet and say, Lord, what a blessing here. You know, you've brought me to heaven. You've given me all of these untold riches, and Lord, you've been so good, and we'll cast our crowns at your feet because of our gratitude. But Lord, would you help us to remember that, yes, we've been forgiven, but we're also joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together. I want to remind you again of the fact that we are the body of Christ, and the body of Christ extends beyond what you see in this room this morning. We've got some younger kids, and when you see those kids, would you give them a big smile? And would you, you know, as the Lord gives you the utterance, so to speak, would you extend to them the love of God? Because there are kids that they really need it. And they're only here for a limited time. You know, sometimes they'll be here for a while. But every Sunday is important. And we want them to know that they are a significant part of the body of Christ. Well, God bless you. And may the Lord cause his grace to fill your hearts and fill your lives in Jesus' name.